Welcome to Getting to Know You for June 2023. Our guest this month is Bob Jarvis from Ohio. Here is our host for the show, Susie B.
Welcome everyone to tonight's edition of Getting to Know You. And tonight, my guest is Bob Jarvis from Ohio. Bob, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here, and I'm happy to be here tonight.
Bob, we're going to start out with some basic questions, but I'm going to mess it up a little bit. I think your nickname here is Serious Coffee Drinker. Is that right? And does that have any significance?
That is correct, and it really didn't have any significance other than the fact that I love my coffee, and I loved it a lot when I came up with the nickname. I don't drink quite as much as I used to, but I do like my coffee still, always do.
Okay, sometimes people pick names that for some reason they don't have much to do with them at all, so that's why I ask. Well, we'll start with the regular questions. Where were you born?
I was born in Ashland, Kentucky, and that is down on the Ohio River in 1958.
Okay, is that where you grew up?
I grew up in a little town called Carter City, Kentucky, and obviously it's in Carter County. It's about 45 minutes out of Ashland, roughly. I stayed there until I was about 3.5 or 4 years old, and then we moved to Ohio.
Were you born with vision problems? And if so, what caused it?
I had too much oxygen. I was an RLF baby. I was preemie. I was only like 36 weeks, if that.
Do you remember how much you weighed?
Under 3 pounds, about 2 pound and like, I think like about 14 ounces or something.
That is a small baby. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I come from a family of 12. I think we've lost 4 all total now, so there's still quite a few of us left.
Where do you fall out in the countdown? Are you in the middle, the oldest, the youngest?
In the countdown, I am the youngest surviving child, and I was. We had one little girl that was born after me, and I don't know what caused her death, but so I'm the surviving. They've always called me the baby of the family, so.
Okay. In our family, we would call you the baby boy, no matter if you were the youngest child, if you just happened to be the youngest boy. Well, since it was due to the too much oxygen, I don't suppose any treatments or surgeries were attempted. Is that correct?
They didn't really do any surgeries. I remember going to a place called Chillicothe, Ohio. When I was a little tyke, I guess they tried to save part of my vision or part of my eyeballs. And I still have them, although they just do nothing. I mean, I can't do any. I've never had muscle control in my eyes.
Well, when it was time to go to school, where did you go to school?
I went to school at the School for the Blind in Columbus, Ohio. Up in the north end of Columbus.
Well, tell me about when you started that, started there. Was that a very scary experience, being away from home?
Yes, it was. And I started there in the fall of 1966. And the thing I can remember most about when I started, or the first day, was when I just remember being in the middle of a bunch of kids in the playroom in the cottage. And I felt like I was all alone. Yes, it was very scary because I'd never been away from home like that before at all. And I couldn't figure out where all my family was or where mom and dad and my brother were. And of course, they had already gone home and they went through a lot of anguish, I guess you would say, over it as well.
Yes, it's difficult from both sides, the child and the parents and the family. After you kind of adjusted some, how was it having all of these buddies around you that were blind like you were?
Well, I actually, I don't want to say I got used to it, although I guess I eventually did, obviously, but it was kind of difficult. But once I realized that everybody else kind of was in the same situation as I was, and there were quite a few other kids that didn't get to go home on weekends and stuff, and they did okay, but then I had that readjustment thing for quite a while when I did go home and come back. It was always kind of rough on me because I never knew when I was going to get to go home again. So it was kind of rough there.
Well, on the weekends, did they have things for you to do other than just staying in the dormitory and not going to class?
We did. We had a playground, and we had, when it was in C2 Cottage, which was the very smallest, you know, for the smallest kids, we had a little room, and in that room they had tricycles and other little toys that you could play with on the playground. And we had like a merry-go-round and swing set and little things like that. So they did try to keep us occupied.
All right. When did you start learning Braille? Pretty much right at the beginning?
Yes, when I was in first grade. I don't remember doing it in kindergarten, but I know in first grade we did.
So when you started learning your letters and learning to read, was that exciting for you?
It was, although I'm not sure if I really recognized at that point the significance of how important it would be until we got to reading things like they had what they call My Weekly Reader and little things like that. And when I started figuring out that I could learn a lot of things by reading Braille, then it got a lot more exciting. And then I did a lot of library book reading and things like that.
Okay. In the elementary years, can you remember any activities you were involved in other than, say, your classroom type things?
Well, they did take us on field trips. We would go to like a farm and get to see the animals and some of the farm equipment and things like that. We did some of that. We'd have people come in from like Ohio State University, and we had recreation. But I remember the recreation part of it really was when I got into the sixth grade and junior high school grades. It was a lot more to it there. Otherwise, when we were in, like when I was in C1, and we would do roller skating up and down the hill and on the sidewalks around our cottages and stuff. And we had tires and boards and things that we could play with. We would just play with the other kids.
Mentioning roller skating, when you went home and you told your parents that you'd learned to roller skate, do you remember them having any kind of reaction, or your brothers and sisters thinking you were roller skating?
I don't think they believed me when I first told them. And I don't know if I told my sisters right now that I roller skated. I don't know if they'd believe me because they never did come up to see. But they would kind of laugh at me like they didn't know whether to believe me or not.
Yes. When did you start mobility in school? Cane travel.
Once we got into, I think more like sixth and seventh grade, mainly really in high school, they didn't really do a lot with canes until we were kind of in that era, because we didn't have, an orientation mobility instructor for the first few years I was there. Well, he was there, but he didn't work with the elementary kids. We just did the sensory training where we worked a lot on our balance and balance beams and all that kind of stuff.
Now, did you take, and I'm only going from what students did where I went to school, did you all have shop where you learned how to cane chairs and use a hammer and saw and all that kind of stuff?
We did. There again, that was something I mainly did that I can remember. Like once you got into high school, you did a lot more of that kind of thing. And then they had like electronics or electricity. They would try to show us how to do wiring. And of course, I never did. I can't say I was a real good mechanic at anything, but I did try. And
getting to know you left pair.
But I did like the using the hammers and the tools, you know, to the best of my ability.
All right. I think you got involved in music at some point. Was this the choir or was this the band, piano lessons? What did you do in music?
Well, in music, we started in music very young. We had, I don't know what you would call it. I guess it would be like a percussion class where we had things like the triangles and the little cymbals and finger cymbals and sticks and blocks and, you know, music things that we started with in the first grade. And then we did some singing and then, of course, when I got older, I did the choir and piano and organ. And by the time I got into the band in high school, I learned to play all the brass instruments in the room. I could play any of them, but I ended up on the trombone mostly in the last 3 years of my high school career.
Well, I have heard of this happening to slide trombone players. Did your slide ever get away from you?
Not quite, and I'm kind of surprised because I'm not terribly tall, but I was just able to play the lowest note or whatever that I had to without it getting away from me. But no, it never did, thankfully, because that wouldn't have been too good.
I was just thinking of some of the peppy songs we sometime played, and I can imagine that being a possibility. Can you think of any other activities that you were involved in high school or elementary school that you would like to mention that kind of stand out in your mind?
I was in things like the Key Club. I was a president of the Key Club, vice president of my class, vice president of student council. So I held some pretty good, you know, positions. I'd like to think I did the best I could with those positions, although sometimes it kind of felt like a popularity contest. I mean, it depended on how many people liked you, so everybody probably wanted to be popular, but that's several of them anyway.
Well, I know in a lot of cases, the seniors took a trip. How about your senior class? Did you all take a trip?
We did. We took a trip to a place called Punderson State Park up in the northeast Ohio region. We went up there and stayed overnight. And while we were there, it was like a 3-day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the week we graduated or something like that. And we went to Cedar Point and got to ride all the coasters and all the scary stuff and eat a lot of junk. But we did canteen to raise money for that, and that's another thing I enjoyed, and that got me into what I did for a few years after I graduated. Our class did the canteen. That was part of the responsibility of the senior class, and that's how we raised money for our trips.
Well, I want to know, at Cedar Point, did you ride the big roller coasters?
The scariest thing I rode up there was the Blue Streak, and that wasn't, they tell me that wasn't the scariest thing because it didn't go upside down, but it was scary enough for me because the bars that held you in, the guy that I was riding with is a little thicker than I was, and so the thing didn't go down all the way over our laps. So that was a little bit scary coming down that big hill.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah, my son went with a friend of his to Cedar Point, and his friend is just I can't even remember what it's called now, but he's just a junkie with that kind of ride. This was about 10 years ago, so apparently it just keeps progressing. All right, can you think of any major hurdles that you experienced before the age of 25, and this could be anything. So you've graduated from high school, and this major hurdle may have been finding a job or getting into some training that you just felt like you couldn't get through, or maybe finding a place to live or something else.
The finding a job part wasn't too bad because I remember I took the vending program training here in Ohio, and they had a job. I was one of a couple people that already had stands lined up when we got out of training. And of course, I didn't know that at the time, so I was a little bit anxious about what in the world was going to happen to me once I got out of the training. But I went to a little town called Ironton, Ohio, and that's where I did my first vending program stand. So I had to relocate and find a place to live there in Ironton, and it all worked out, but I had a few anxious moments there.
I can imagine. What was your vending location? Was it like over-the-counter thing, vending machines, serving food like sandwiches and soup and what, or a combination of all of that?
It actually was a combination of all that. And one of the first things that I had to do, obviously, was I had to have an employee, because the employee had to do a lot of the sandwich making, because it was like homemade barbecue and it was good stuff. But I mean, I had to buy it and I had to have somebody behind the counter to help, you know, with all that, because I had to handle the cigarettes and coffee and pop. And we had a machine or two there in that location. And then I got involved in a couple other vending stands in the Columbus area.
Were you surprised when you first saw the inside of a vending machine and how the things were placed in it and they spiraled out? I found that very interesting.
I found it very interesting. And I'm standing there thinking, well, how in the world do they tell all these chips apart and all these candy bars and all and of course I found out really it wasn't all that difficult when you got right down to it, the more time you spent doing it. And plus I learned to depend on the occasional sighted person that would be around. But yeah, I was.
I think a lot of times people think about, how do you tell the money? Did you have a bill identifier that you put your money into to tell what it was? Probably you didn't do the ones, but fives or anything bigger, I'm sure that you probably did. Or if you didn't, what was your system?
I had one of those big money identifiers that you, oh golly, I don't know, they were $400 or $500, but at that time that was a lot of money. It still is to me, but I had that, and then I kept like my ones would be on the right side of the, you know, you had like four or five different slots in this cash drawer, and it would go from right to left. It would go ones, fives, tens, and I might have seen two or three 20s at one time. And if I saw 100, I don't know what I'd do, or 50. But yeah, we learned to do that. Of course, it took a little time. Of course, now they have those little bitty money identifiers you can put on your, like on the key ring. And as a matter of fact, I have couple of apps on my phone that actually do that now.
Yes. Before we get to hobbies and stuff, is there anything else that you would like to tell about training that you had, or jobs, or having to move? Isn't moving fun?
Yeah, it's a joy, considering we're trying to find a place right now. We're praying about finding a place to move that will actually be of good benefit to us and be helpful. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, a lot of chaos, and wondering where you put things for a couple months after you get it all on, you try to get it unpacked and all that stuff. So that's something I don't like to do very often.
Well, I could never understand when I was growing up that my parents always lived. Well, I think they ended up living in the same house for about 55 years. And then after I had to move a time or so, understood very well why they stayed in the same house, since they had a choice to do that. Do you have hobbies? You want to tell us about some of your hobbies?
Well, I like to read. I'm involved with the library program, Library for the Blind here. Our regional office is in Cleveland, Ohio. But I definitely like music. I like my Reds and Buckeyes and my Bengals. And yeah, I'm a sports critter. And like I say, I like music. I love people. I love to minister. And I love to sing. So that's some of them.
That's a pretty well-rounded group of hobbies. When you mentioned the Cincinnati Library, is this the talking library that's in Cincinnati?
It used to be. It is now in Cleveland. They moved everything up to Cleveland. They may still have a library down there. You're talking about like for the books and the talking books and that kind of stuff. But yeah, they put everything in Cleveland now.
Well, it may have been in Cleveland. I don't know. Years ago, there were, and there are still such in many states. It's called the Talking Library, where they read the newspapers. They have a certain time that they read the ads in the newspapers, and then they read magazines and books. From 10 to 11, you read so-and-so book, and from 11 to 12, you read such-and-such. Do you all have that? I think it's called Radio Reading Service.
Yes, ma'am, we do. And as far as I know, the Dayton one is still around, although, to be honest, I haven't checked. I probably should do that. I actually still have a radio that I've had around here for a long time from Dayton, but with all the other technology that's out here, I honestly have just kind of forgotten about it, but as far as I know, that they still have it here, and it is very beneficial because not everybody has a computer or even a cell phone, so it's still a good thing to have.
Right. At that time, there weren't a lot of different options. Okay, we've talked about hurdles and all that kind of thing. Can you think of something that happened in your life, it kind of stands out in your mind, that happened as a result of you being blind? This could be a funny situation, an embarrassing situation, or one you don't want to talk about. And of course, if that's it, we're not going to hear about it.
You're right. No, honestly, I honestly still can't come up with anything. And I'm sure there have been things, you know, but I don't know. I guess I just can't come up with one right now.
Can you think of anything that you would like to add before? Because, of course, you have been forwarded. After I get finished asking you questions, then your audience gets a chance to ask questions. And we know how Nan has been keeping a long ledger of things that she wants to ask.
Yeah, she's got a big, long laundry list of things, so we'll get to that pretty shortly. Actually, no, I can't think of anything else really to add, except that I do love and enjoy life, and I love people, and I definitely love this site. I've been a member up here for a lot of years now, and I consider all of you guys my family, and it's been a pleasure to be here. So we're going to turn Nan and whoever else wants to chomp at the bit to get at me. I guess I'm ready.
Okay, gang, you've heard him. Just remember this. If you are keyed up to ask him a question and somebody else starts talking, let go of your key, because if you don't, he isn't going to get a chance to answer the question. So again, please, if you're keyed up and you hear somebody else asking a question, please let go, because we'll have plenty of time for everyone to get a chance. And I just ask that you just ask one question, and then after everyone gets an opportunity to ask, I'm sure there's probably going to be time for you to ask a second one. So, gang, here he is, our man, Bob.
Bob, it's Parker. You mentioned you were the president of the Key Club. I'm curious, what was the Key Club?
Well, it was basically simply a service club at the time I was in it, they just had guys in the Key Club. And of course, now they, like most of the rest of them, they have guys and gals. And which is fine. It was a service organization. I think we bought a water fountain for the school, and we bought some library materials. But it was an organization where you learned how to be a positive influence on your fellow students and how to be a leader, basically. And, of course, they had service projects that they would do to raise money for things for the school, things to enhance the quality of life for the kids, and hopefully the people that were going to be there after you had graduated.
Bob, you do a great job leading the prayer group, and I'm really glad that you've got that job. But I'm curious, how did you meet your wife?
Janine and I met on a telephone talk line, basically. We met on the Fillmore system. I've been out here in the phone world for a long time, but we basically got together out here on some of these systems. And she and I have known each other for a long time, but things didn't happen until, you know, like 8 years ago or something that we really got together. And it's been a good life.
Well, regardless of what Susie says, I don't have a lot of questions. I wondered, did you talk about your daughters? And I think you have a grandchild coming or one already?
I have, because like I say, Janine and I have only been married 7 years. But she's the only mom my kids know. And so they've graciously pretty much call her mom. And we know the differences and all that. But we have 13 grandchildren. I have 4 children, 13 grandchildren, and a great-grandchild coming.
That makes for a fun Christmas, doesn't it?
That makes for a fun anything, including a lot of space to take up at one time.
Well, I'll just say also that I have really enjoyed meeting you, getting to know you each morning in the prayer event, and early. Sometimes you'll come into the early chat. And I just have thoroughly enjoyed meeting you and Janine. And you're doing a great job leading the prayer on Sundays. And I find it blessed to call you a friend.
Well, God bless you. I appreciate that so much. And I do. I love the opportunity. Not that it's me, but it's God using me to help to lead. And, of course, if anybody has any suggestions on what I can do better or anything like that to lead the prayer group, I'm always open. But I do consider it an honor to be up here and be with all of you friends. I consider you all friends and family.
Bob, I'd like to add a little to that. It's definitely a pleasure having you on VIP. You've been a great addition. You and Janine as well, even though she's not actually a member, she's behind you all the way. And behind every good man's a good woman, from what they tell me. It's really enjoyable hearing you on Sunday. You do a terrific job. And keep up the good work. Thanks for being part of our family.
Thank you for having me. I do consider it an honor.
Bob, you said you met Janine. Is she from the same state as you, or is she a long distance away when you first met her and when she moved to your area?
Does she sound like she's from Kentucky? She is from Illinois, Chicago area. That was an interesting thing. We decided we were going to get together, and let's see how it went. I went out there first the week before Christmas, the year before, right before we got married. But I went out there, and then she came here for Christmas that year, and then she came back in late January, very next year. And then, of course, we got married, and here we are.
Bob, I do want to mention that folks really appreciate the donuts you bring in each morning and the variety.
And you know what? I went to the doctor the other day, and I actually found out I'm losing weight. So the virtual thing about these donuts is good. There's no calories in them, and they're yummy.
Bob, so is Janine sighted or not?
No, she's total like I am. and we're both diabetics. I'm type 2 and she's a type 1, and that is challenging because I can control mine pretty much by insulin. And, well, she does hers too, but the problem is her sugars go up and down so much. And right now we're trying to get her adjusted a little bit better, and she's had some times where she's had to go to the hospital because of it. So you guys, please keep her in your prayers so that we can get this straightened out.
Does she know very many other blind people around the Chicago area? Because Kathleen Jones, she's passed now, but she was around that area. And, what's the other lady's name? I can't think of her name. I think she's in Chicago, but they're both were members as well. Kathleen was a member before she passed, and the other lady's still on.
Would it be Lydia? She was in Chicago.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. I don't think Janine knows very many people around that area that are blind. Although she lost her vision through being diabetic. She was driving home in the rain one afternoon, and it hit her all of a sudden. She had to pull over, and that had to be scary.
Bob, this is Coconut. I really, really liked your interview. Lots of interesting things about yourself, and well done. Great job. Keep up the good work, and keep bringing those donuts in. We like them, even though I don't make it there.
Well, anytime you're able and can, you're always welcome. Anybody's always welcome. Anywhere I'm at, there's donuts and pies and cakes and goodies.
What an experience that she must have had, you know, all of a sudden able to drive. But Bob, I'm curious. I'm trying to get an image of what you look like. How tall of a man are you?
I am, when I have a full head of hair, which I'm curly headed and it grows naturally and it's all white now, I guess, I've been told. But I'm, with a full head of hair, I'm probably about 5'5 or 5'4. And I'm about 190 pounds. So I'm a little bit chunky around the belly, like a lot of folk. But, yeah.
Baba, do you or your wife doing the cooking?
Well, we have some challenges there. For one thing, my wife is... she has balance issues and a little bit of a nervous, I don't know how to describe it, but she's trying. And we have a range. They put a new range in here with a glass top. And so I'm a little bit reluctant to do a lot with it because a few days after we got it put in, unbeknownst to us, there was something on the range and it caught on fire, and we had to have the fire department out here. That was not fun. That was a little bit not too good. But we're going to get it taken care of. The problem is, too, we have a digital pad on the oven itself, and so we got to figure out a way to put some markings on it.
I have one of those. I'll be happy to share the ideas with you at another time.
Bob, do any of your kids live close by?
One of my children is in, actually two of them are in the Gallipolis area, which is about 2 or 2.5 hours from us. We never see them, but they're over there. And of course, my one girl that lives over there has several of her kids. And then my boys sees his kids on weekends and stuff. So they're all pretty busy. And the one girl lives in West Virginia, so my baby girl. So that's where they're all at.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you so much for allowing me to interview you tonight. Of course, other people have brought this up, but when Parker suggested you, I said I would like to interview him. The only thing I know about him is he prays a good prayer, and you still do that, and you talk a good talk too. And I think you've got the walk to go with it. So thanks again for allowing me to interview you. And the best of luck in finding a new place to live that'll be convenient. And have a wonderful week.
You as well, Susie, and God bless all of you guys and gals. I appreciate so much. What an honor it's been to be here with you all. Yeah, thank you all very much for coming in.
And thanks to all of you who came and participated in tonight's Getting to Know You.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.